Simplify your life today.
Poland's president was killed in a plane accident, but wait till you hear the details on this one. His body, by the way, returned home to that country. Clinton and Gates talk nukes. Tina Fey is back as Sarah Palin. I got to say, it was pretty funny stuff. Mickelson goes green and the crowd goes wild at Augusta. Earthquakes again, this time Spain and San Diego got a little bit of an earthquake. Woo! It's crazy how many earthquakes that we can count this past month. And Senator Schumer says no way, puts his foot down as far as overhead luggage and the possibility of charging $45 or up to $45. At least that's what Spirit was talking about. And he's going to fight it. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. And you're ready to swing into yet another work week. Or any more. Half of the people that I know work on the weekends, and they have Monday and Tuesday off. So maybe this is your chill time. If it is, and you're hanging late and you're listening, welcome aboard. You can throw in your 2 cents at any time. As you know, this is a conversation, not a one-way street either. Whatever the opinion, that's cool. 800-259-5791, or feel free to flip us an email at americatonight.net. Couple of quick things before we dive into the meat of this giant hour on ATN. The war between Hamid Karzai and the U.S. has gotten a little bit cooler. Because Hamid Karzai realizes, I think, ooh, you know, maybe I don't want to bite the hand that's feeding me right now. So Karzai is really trying to jump into the fray and be more aggressive about meeting with U.S. officials and figuring out ways to end this feud. And the United States, of course, is doing the same thing. Because why? We have so much money and manpower invested in this. 8+ years and counting. So here's what happened. On Sunday, Karzai toured a city with the U.S. and NATO commander. And Washington turned around, released a statement almost immediately. He's a reliable partner. Get the word out. He's reliable. We did a tour together. Anyway, seriously, it was General McChrystal, which makes sense, and Karzai, who met with hundreds, I mean hundreds of elders in the last couple of weeks. They've actually that's been building up to that. So this is maybe now the third trip in probably 2.5 weeks. And the idea, remember, was part of the strategy. What will Afghanistan's government look like and what will the role be militarily? So this is part of what's at play here, and there's so much at stake, but this relationship has been broken in half, strained, partially because Karzai, behind closed doors, was trashing the U.S., let's be honest about it. And the White House knows that this guy was trying to pull a fast one in those elections. They might not cop to it, but they certainly, certainly know it. So now there's been all this conciliatory kind of stuff going on. Probably the biggest gesture was the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, publicly defending Karzai on Sunday as part of the Sunday swirl. And they volleyed back what McChrystal was saying. Oh, he's a reliable partner. Yeah, don't worry. He's reliable. This seems very day to day to me. That's what it seems like. One day he's a nut. One day he seems okay. One day we're touring with him. The next day we can't find him. Still not good, but you do not want that tension between the Afghanistan people and any of the foreigners, which means U.S. soldiers, rather, and the NATO guys, any of the NATO people. You do not want that, because that spells disaster, frankly, for our troops and for our efforts. And I don't even care. I mean, we care about the money, because the money is at a ridiculous proportions of what we've spent in Afghanistan. But I worry about the flesh. I worry about the human lives at stake with Karzai in charge. So anything they can do to either get him on an even keel, rein him in, whatever it takes, or bump him out of there, that's what has to happen. Because, frankly, I don't want to see it touch off anything that would harm the guys that are risking limbs and life, frankly, as they crawl around these villages where they're so their hands are so tied anyway because of the rules of engagement and the huge fear of any kind of civilian collateral. You don't want anything to touch that effort because it's not stopping, folks, and the push is worse. It's deep, nasty stuff that they're involved in. Big story over the weekend is one that I mentioned when we cracked open the mic for the first time here on this Sunday into Monday, is Poland really grieving. And the government's moving as fast as they can to pretty much show that they're on the same page, on the same course, because the president was on a plane where 95 people were killed. And, you know, you got the president and other political and military and even some religious leaders of that country were there. So thousands of Polish people grieving over that crash in Russia that just shocked the country. You know, how many planes go down, particularly carrying so many of the people that are in play for that government. And there was one positive thing I happened to see when I was flipping around, and I guess it's that the positive thing is that what happened on the, you know, what happened with the crash and what they're working to find out is that the crash happened in incredibly thick fog near actually where Stalin's secret police used to meet in the 40s, and they executed thousands of Polish military officers in the western part of the Soviet Union. So here you have this president and those aboard a very aging Soviet-built plane, ironically, that was headed there to honor those people dead, you know, that were killed in that area, in that forest area. And the plane had been working fine from what they could see, and so there was worry that there was some kind of weird thing, some kind of terroristic thing, perhaps. And what it turns out to be is it's looking more and more like a little bit of a pilot error because of the fog and thinking that it was okay to bring it down and ultimately not landing perhaps when he could have the pilot, when he could have land. So how strange is that? That in a very somber moment would have been for Poles, going back to that horrible, horrendous time in their history, in a terrible, terrible piece of real estate is where the plane goes down. And there, like I said, there still are questions over that crash, and the people are just trying to come to terms with, you know, what's happening. And the president was trying to get a second term in the elections that were coming up in the fall, but he was going to have an uphill battle, it looked like. So, sadly, all those people killed, but it was strange where the plane came down, and while it seemed to some that there was something more ominous at work, apparently it wasn't. We're going to talk about nukes and some dark days, perhaps, next with George Landriff here on America Tonight.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh homeopathic antiseptic nasal spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you prepared or are you hardcore prepared? Get hardcore equipped at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested with Canadian and U.S. forces, so we know it's tough. What kind of gear? Our own brands. Arctic Warrior, Homeland Defender, Sandbox Avenger, Urban Peacekeeper. More than 30,000 products and 90% of it made in Canada and the U.S. See it all at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. Get 72-hour survival kits, Ultima boots, HW1 gloves, tactical link slings, EMA tactical weapon equipment, everything you need to be hardcore prepared. Deal with TacTownGear.com personnel with more than 25 years' experience in military and law enforcement. Call now, 418-844-9111. That's 418-844-9111. Or go to TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Solutions for your area of operation.
Years. It's what he goes there for. It's to unlock the door. All those around him criticize and say. And through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
So how do you feel about throwing nukes in the trash? Is this a good thing, and is this the right thing to do in a peacekeeping frame of mind? Or is it better to sleep with both eyes open and, in fact, always have that threat of being able to lay the hammer down? Much debate on this, my friends. We're going to let you hear what Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, had to say about nukes, and also the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and that's coming up here on America Tonight. Like I said, keep this number handy, 800-259-5791, just like Sam in Montreal. Sam, let me ask you this. You're there in Canada, the peaceful nation. Supposedly, I like the way you laugh. What do you think? Just from your gut, knowing what's happening in the world and what are the bigger threats, do you like the idea of dismantling nukes, or do you think it's best to be well-armed just in case the party breaks out?
Well-armed just in case the party breaks out, because you're going to get some SOB like Adenajad, or I call them other choice words, but like I said, I don't want to get the FCC on your back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're choking there. They're already get after you.
No, it's the dreaded sister-in-law's mother syndrome.
No, I agree with you. Listen, I agree with you 100%. Not on the mother-in-law thing, but I agree with you on the about the nukes.
Right.
Because the biggest threat really is from the extremists. It's from the jihadists. And if you completely threw the I'm just saying this sort of as a metaphor. You throw everything in the trash. The trash gets taken away, and then what are you going to do? You got nothing. You don't even have the trash can anymore. So I think the dressing down, at least from the U.S. point of view, is to please other people, is to please other nations. But at what cost? I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the funny part was, I don't know if I told you this. My first trip to Israel, I went to a seminar. And the person was giving it a little lecture on the history of, you know, wars in the Middle East. So I asked the question, if World War III was to start, would it start here? He said yes. And at the time, we're going back like many moon ago, Reagan was president. That's how long it was.
Mm-hmm.
He thought at the time it would be Muammar Gaddafi who would start it. Not anymore. I think Muammar is like a minor leaguer and that Ahmadinejad is like a major leaguer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think Gaddafi is a lying, scumbaggy kind of guy that would cover things up like that Pan Am.
He'd make a good American politician.
But he's got to put his Bedouin tent somewhere. But yeah, absolutely, Ahmadinejad is the scarier of any of the people that we could possibly mention here. Chavez would make the list too, but really he's the worst because there's a lot you don't know about him.
Right, for sure. And, well, Steve's back in Israel. He made it back safely.
Good.
And, well, we called, and I said, and I asked him, I asked him, what about what's going on with the new buildings, you know, new homes in East Jerusalem? As usual, in Israel, you got some people who are afraid for it, some people who are against it. And in his neighborhood, they're all for it. And,
really?
Yeah.
Everybody says they're all on board with it.
Everybody, at least in his apartment building, is all for it.
Sure.
You know, because he lives in a fairly Orthodox neighborhood, so of course they're all going to be for it. So, you know, and of course they're also worried about Ahmadinejad. But some Israelis are saying, because we were talking about it, that some Israelis are saying, "Oh, the Americans will bail us out." There'll be others who are saying, "We don't need the Americans in certain situations." You know, so.
Need the Americans in certain situations.
Right.
Oh, that's a tricky relationship. Boy, they got to be careful about that.
Yeah, now let me ask you this. If World War III was to start, do you think it would... I'm asking you, being a person in journalism, do you think World War III would start in the Middle East?
Yes. Yes, okay. I think that's... absolutely. That's to answer your question, because if something else were to happen to the U.S., some other kind of... terror-linked thing. But the problem would be, this is the problem in trying to pull this all together. It's not like the traditional form of war.
Right.
So because you may have a hornet's nest of extremist, jihadist, whatever nuts that are trying to blow up the Western world, especially the United States, you specifically are trying to target them, but they're not running the middle. They're not none of them are the president of XYZ country or prime minister.
Right.
So that's the deal. That's where you have the Al Qaeda, the worst, the Taliban. You know, to me, for my money, there are nutty fractions of Hamas, which are even here in the United States. And you know that as being Israel watching over what's going on the Gaza Strip and in Jerusalem.
Right.
So I think there should be some concern over Hamas. So, yeah, I think it does happen, though, in the Middle East.
Yeah, you know, it is, unfortunate. But then unfortunately, they're going to say, don't worry, everything will be there and everything will work out. As my father used to say, don't bet the house on it. You know, there'll be peace. Yeah, right, sure. There'll be peace the days, I hate to put in a little hockey analogy, that the Montreal Canadiens and Philadelphia Flyers will meet in the Eastern Final.
Which is never. Yeah, I mean, look at how long, our entire lives, you've read headlines, you've talked in current affairs classes and history classes about peace in the Middle East, and there is no peace in the Middle East, really.
Right, well, remember I told you that story. Julie introduced me to one of her friends who's now divorced from this jerk, we were talking about the Middle East. And he said, well, you know, you Jews should give, you know, the Palestinians Israel. I said, why? Well, you've got all the money. You can go out and buy your own country. I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, you've got all the money. Then I said, why does one of the local service organizations have kosher food basket once a month? I don't know, because they're cheap.
Mm.
Me and Julie just left, and her and then her friend said, you know, I've had enough of you and your, as she put it, tunnel vision politics. She goes, well, you're my wife. You're supposed to believe. You're just supposed to support me. I'm looking like, yeah, right. What century is he living in? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and yet there was that Pastor John Hagee. He lives in your state.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also very pro-Israel. In fact, I've heard him, you know, give some speeches. And, you know, for a Christian, he is very, very pro-Israel. So,
right.
So, you know, there are, you know, not every American is, you know, like, you know, anti-Israel. Most of them are Christian. Most Christian Americans, that is. I met some who are very pro-Israel, like Israel have the right to exist. And, of course, you have the others who say, you know.
Too much attention on Israel.
Yeah.
And to back off.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, excuse me, it's like, do I tell you how to do your business? Don't tell Israel how to do theirs.
Well, and you have to say, this is the thing, there are so many ties to Israel.
Right.
So there are a lot of Americans who are tied to the country itself and
right.
have relatives, et cetera, in Israel or whose family roots come from Israel.
Right.
Or the family went to Israel because they survived the camps.
Right, for sure. There are the two museums in Israel. There's Yad Vashem, and then there's another one that is kept up by it was started by Holocaust survivors. So that was more, I don't know, it was more like really like, this is what really happened. None of this, you know, you show pictures, of course, which did show certain things. And I know one time when I was there, I was visiting it with somebody, and then you see a German tourist group, and I'm thinking, what are they doing here? Are they just trying to, I mean, are they trying to say, oh, my God, what did we do? Or are they gloating at the idea of, look what we did? Or at the same time, you know, it was so like,
right.
I didn't know what to think or feel, you know, at that point. And I remember also my first trip to Israel. Part of that seminar, we went to Yad Vashem and we saw, remember the old World at War series?
Mm-hmm.
They showed the Holocaust and we walked out not saying a word.
Oh, yeah. I mean, very, very, very somber, and it should be. It's
right.
Unbelievable when you tour any of those areas. Only somebody that had no heart, I think, could leave there and not feel anything. Sam, thanks. We'll talk to you again coming up a little bit later this week on America Tonight. On the flip side, odds and ends.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try My Pillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, My Pillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. My Pillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. My Pillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. My Pillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. My Pillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, My Pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose except poor sleep? Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN, and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. My Pillow for the rest of your life.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish, with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will.
Kate, hanging out with all of you in every nook and cranny across America. Welcome to yet another week in April. I don't know where the time goes, but here we are, sitting on the second week in April. Man, I'm still back in March. I don't know about the rest of you. Coming up on Odds and Ends, we're going to dive into this, give you the follow-up, sadly, of the miners and what people are talking about in West Virginia. Last week, we had a great conversation with, if you can have a great conversation over this, with Homer Hickam, who grew up in coal mining territory, a stone's throw away from that town, gave the eulogy at the Sago Mine after the Sago Mine disaster in 2006, and, of course, went on to write a couple of different books about it, The Red Helmet, even started a foundation for the kids of the families who were killed in the Sago disaster and other things that have happened to miners so that they have some kind of a future. And we talked at length, why would somebody go under the ground and, you know, what's in the minds of the people who do that for a living, and there's generations after generations, and they make really, really good money and are aware of the dangers. But because of the Sago incident, I think certainly in West Virginia, a lot of people were feeling as though, even though there were citations and rumors about the lack of safety concerns, especially with the ventilation, but I think a lot of the people there were feeling a little bit more secure, sadly, because of what happened with Sago and the fact that there were stricter regulations, but not to be. So we'll get to that in a minute. But first, the nuclear question that we've been talking about. And my thought is, the scary thing to me is, I mean, hey, if you could get rid of all nukes across the board and be guaranteed that every nuke is gone, or, you know, half of the stockpile is gone, but that'd just be naive. And we know that's not a possibility. So now with this summit coming on, Obama is pushing the non-nuclear pledge to 40-plus world leaders. And as I said, we know Al-Qaeda would use the nuke if it could. So posed to the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, she was on with Jake Tapper on ABC News. They did an interview with her, and also part of the Sunday Swirl, also with Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. Here's what Hillary Clinton had to say, particularly on the question of Iran and all this posturing with Iran. And, I mean, really, is it working? And how most people feel the situation is with Ahmadinejad. She thinks it was a very, very positive week when all this was discussed last week.
It has been a very positive week for American foreign policy, and particularly with respect to our nuclear posture. When it comes to Iran, we take everything they say with more than a grain of salt, because we know that they have a tendency to say things that may or may not be carried out, may or may not be accurate. But in fact, their belligerence is helping to make our case every single day. Countries that might have had doubts about Iranian intentions, who might have even questioned whether Iran was seeking nuclear weapons, are having those doubts dispelled as much by the evidence we present as by what comes out of the leadership of Iran.
All right, so this is kind of a tit-for-tat deal, and let's get everybody else on board, pretty much, if you want to cut through the rhetoric of that. And, you know, hey, they being the rest of the world, has to cut out the legs of Ahmadinejad, you know, take it out from underneath him is the only way, truly. So Obama is saying, let's get rid of nuclear weapons. Let's do this. But you run up against the reality that I said. You got 47 countries who are trying to come up with an agreement on keeping nuclear weapons out of terrorist hands. There's no question, no question, somebody connected to Al-Qaeda or any form of Al-Qaeda, Taliban would use a nuke. Yeah, absolutely. So these are pretty big strategies that they're talking about. But what will emerge from the two-day gathering that starts on Monday? I mean, you got all these world leaders. You got this big deal, global focus, the most serious thing, nuclear proliferation. Nobody wants to be blown up by a mushroom cloud. So you have a world where you have terrorist organizations that could get nuclear materials. Iran's perceived, at least, and I think for sure they're doing it, their attempt to build a nuclear weapon violates the Global Nuclear Proliferation Treaty anyway. And then you have North Korea. Let's not forget about North Korea and Kim Jong-il and nuclear weapons and the stockpiling of those weapons and exporting nuclear stuff, the material, and all the technology. So it's not just Ahmadinejad. You also have the other side of Korea to be concerned about. Will this two-day meeting in what would be the biggest gathering of leaders hosted by an American president, by the way, since 1945, will anything of serious substance come out of this? And what I think the push should be, no question after the 2 days, a definite in-writing resolution that does something as far as sanctions are concerned against Tehran, serious sanctions that would be much more crippling to them and make Ahmadinejad have to pay attention. Israel last week upset the apple cart by saying that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, wouldn't go to the conference because he was planning to do that. And he apparently, there was more to the story than he's upset with Obama and the U.S. and what some of the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. apparently he's also worried about Turkey and Egypt and the fact that they might use that moment to challenge him over his own pile of nukes, which they never have said they have. So there will be a representative, but it's going to be the deputy prime minister, not Netanyahu himself. You've got Jordan, you've got China, Armenia, Malaysia, all those countries are going to be in, they're in D.C. now, but they'll all be there for that conference. So this is the fourth of Obama's campaign promises, if you're keeping score, to get rid of nuclear weapons, which we all know this, only used how many times? Well, not in testing, but only once by the United States, and that was, of course, World War II, forcing the Japanese to surrender. But the question is, with all of these people in town, what comes out of this meeting? A lot of handshaking, photo ops, conversation, or something serious? Can something serious come out of this that, as an American, you and I feel good about with what's being proposed on the table? 800-259-5791. All right, so I said odds and ends in the follow-up to the miners. I got a lot of email from across the country about, well, what's going on? Remember when you left the air, there was four miners and the remote possibility, perhaps, they would be found alive. We knew it was very, very tiny, the possibility, because of how long it took to get in there, for one, and also what happened. So the churches all over West Virginia were filled to the brim. Not that they might not have been, but they really were, because it was, there was a big memorial, especially in the town in West Virginia, and in Pettus, right by there, where they actually had the memorial for the 29 guys. And this was the worst U.S. mining disaster, because if you add the others, you're talking 28 people dead, 28, 29 people dead as a result of that. So that's the worst mining disaster since 1970. And, you know, you had all of, most of them killed, the workers killed on Monday, and then just the reality that it's too late to go in and get the other guys. And then the other part of it, the fact that there were so many violations that were leveled at Massey Energy at that upper Big Branch mine in Mount Cole. And, you know, there were people, I saw video of this, where people, of course, crying and, you know, worshiping and gathering outside of the church. And, boy, very, very tough, I would say, for the people there. They know that the mountain is their friend, that this is how they make their living. They know the dangers of it, but not expecting when they had that crew shift, when they had this shift, for that to happen. And some of the people who were in the mine have been found, their bodies have been found, and they have been laid to rest, but they're still working to get the bodies of the others who didn't make it out. And doing that, they need to drill a hole to vent the mine, which they've been doing. So they could only have a handful of funerals, and they're waiting, and they're going to have these funerals as soon as they can get to the bodies, to be frank, of the guys. And now you've got the feds all over this as of Monday, trying to figure out what caused this explosion. And I already mentioned this, Massey had a slew of safety violations at the mine. You got the CEO, of course, what's he going to do? He's going to defend the company and saying, you know, that no, they never put profits ahead of safety, but that doesn't seem so when you look at some of the things that they were being nailed for. Coming up, we have Weekend Count here on America Tonight.
The healing revolution is here, naturally. Announcing King Bio Natural Medicines, over 200 powerful physician-tested homeopathic formulas for mind, body, and pets. Get fast relief this allergy season with King Bio's Allergy and Hay Fever Reliever. When you order online today, you'll receive a free guide booklet to natural medicine. Supplies limited. So order at kingbio.com. That's kingbio.com. KingBio.com, your natural pharmaceutical company.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The mighty Roman soldier was given a daily ration of fermented fish oil. The stoic Scandinavian Viking had a drum of fermenting cod livers outside the door of his home. And Grandma always had cod liver oil in the cupboard. Today, Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality, nutrient-dense cod and other fish liver oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, through fermentation. Cold-fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture's products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. Receive a 20% discount off your first order at greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code radio at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good for a limited time. Call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818 or go to greenpasture.org today.
Yes, indeed. Time for another edition of Week in Count here on ATN. Oh, check this one out. From London, Britain's Transplant Authority is saying that they're investigating a bunch of errors in their organ donor list that goes back about a decade, several hundred thousand errors. Wow, who's minding the store? And this is a pretty important store. So the National, specifically, it's the National Health Service Blood and Transportation Organization there. They say proportion of their 14 million strong, say, but it's pretty good, organ donor list was affected by technical mishaps since 99. And as a result, a very small group of people may have had organs removed without proper authorization. Ooh, that's not good. So it meant that people who wanted to donate organs like their lungs, let's say, or their skin were incorrectly identified as people who wanted to donate their corneas or their heart. The glitch actually hit the number I said, 800,000 people, 45 of whom have died and donated organs. And they're not disputing that at the organization, they're not disputing it, and they're not confirming anything. They're, I think, just humiliated, and they're not, the lawyers are saying, oh, don't say anything, be quiet. So the investigation is going on, and other than getting anonymous statements from people, there's not much to there's not much to prove it, but it's obvious that there's some screw-ups in the technology. But boy, doesn't that raise questions that we have here in the U.S. when there's mess-ups like that? How can the government handle any of the citizens' information? I mean, look, they already misplaced, this is in the U.K., they misplaced information on 3 million driving test candidates, 600,000 army applicants, and 5,000 prison officers over the last couple of years. So they obviously have a problem counting in the UK. And it's not actually funny. Imagine taking the wrong organs and then mix that in there with all the other screw-ups, and that's a disaster. And for transplant people, that would make them nervous because it's such an important thing, and you need people wanting to give up their organs. If you're going to have some success with this, and if there's glitches and problems, that doesn't make people feel comfortable about doing it. I'm just saying. Okay, so earthquakes. It's crazy. We're like in the earthquake world now. A magnitude 6.2 smashed into southern Spain on Monday. That's about 15 miles to the southeast of a very cool city, the city of Granada. The quake happened at a depth, they say, of about 382 miles near the Sierra Nevada mountain range. Woo. So 6.2 hitting that city. And then in the meantime, the other one is the one that also 4.4 that hit San Diego. A little bit shaky in some areas, but nothing like the 7.1 quake that shook up the Solomon Islands. You know, they might be used to it there, that's a possibility. They live with that based on the geography of where they are. But the amount of shakes that we're seeing, I wonder what that's doing to the plates in some of those areas. And are we seeing a weird shift happen? And the answer to that is, from what I've read, there does seem to be some of that, but we're going to get somebody on to talk more in depth about it. Somebody who knows what's happening with when you put it all together and you add up all these things that we've seen, some of them disastrous, some high numbers, but not quite as disastrous. And the tsunami wasn't expected in this last one, but the U.S. Geological Survey is saying the 7.1 magnitude quake hit on Sunday night, and the epicenter was about 130 miles southeast of the capital, Honeri, in the Pacific Ocean. So the Tsunami Warning Center weren't worried about a wave. And the islands there, it's a country of about 1,000 islands in the Pacific Ocean. And like I said, this is something that they live with, but I don't know, might be time to pack up and move. Go to a different area. I like the island life, but perhaps I can live on one where it's not quite as risky. Oh, it was so exciting to see this. I was at the hospital, spent a chunk of the day at the hospital, but one of the bright spots was watching Phil Mickelson winning his third Masters title, third green jacket. And the deal is that Phil Mickelson's wife, Amy, and his mother both were diagnosed with breast cancer. And you could see the emotion on this guy's face. I mean, he's a competitor. He's known for being a little bit risky. And it used to be, ooh, Phil might blow it. But he had the lead. He had a three-shot lead going into the 18th. And he had one last birdie. So he ended up protecting the three-shot lead. And there was his wife who spent, apparently, according to what the broadcast was saying, most of the week in bed, made it to the green, and she was there, and his three kids were there to see him with this very, very, very big win. Tiger Woods, everybody was talking about Tiger Woods. He returns from that huge sex scandal, which certainly slammed his image, but his game was okay. The crowds clapped for him, paid attention to him. He was in contention, but didn't pull it off. He ended up tied for fourth. Still, I think, wasn't the Tiger who wants to win everything, but amazing that he, I shouldn't say amazing because his golf game is intact, but still he comes back and he ends up with a tie for fourth with KJ Choi, which was big, and then Fred Couples, who is 50 years old, came in sixth. That was also a very, very big storyline. Did you see any of this, Matt? I'm sure you just kind of saw little bits and pieces, but it's pretty cool. Lefty wins. It's pretty emotional. His wife battling cancer, and that's got to be tough.
Yeah, definitely. I watched some of it. I was watching kind of the Twins game, too, and some other things, but I saw the end of the Masters for sure. And I don't know, I thought one of the incredible things was how Anthony Kim came back and shot 7 under.
Yes.
Out of nowhere. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah, and he's a Texas kid. I've talked to people about Anthony Kim before, and he had an amazing performance. So there were other storylines for sure from the Masters, but it was good to see Phil come out, and, you know, no offense to Tiger Woods, but I wasn't necessarily cheering for Tiger Woods. And what people wanted to know is, is he going to start playing on the tour or not? And he was asked about that, and he said he was going to take some more time off and assess and whatever, because he knew, and certainly the people around him knew, at the Masters, other than some nasty overhead banners that were pulled on the back of a plane, nobody was going to mess with him. But out on the tour in other cities, would be much more vulnerable. So he decides he's not, going to announce, I'm going to be at this tournament or that tournament. It was, here's the Masters, and he comes in tied for fourth and goes away, and there's lots of conversation about Tiger Woods' game, but that's it. That's it for now, and he's not giving you anything else based on, where could he possibly play in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, who knows. Maybe he doesn't play anything. Can you imagine, somebody said this to me, what if he just doesn't play anything but the majors? So he just plays all the major tournaments because he would be eligible to do that, and so what? He doesn't go for the points or the end of the year deal, or he doesn't worry about any of that. That, that could be what ends up happening if he felt like he was getting squeezed too much. Speaking of getting squeezed, here's our last one on We Can Count. The cost of gas is up nearly 4 cents in the last 3 weeks. 4 cents, you say, well, that's hardly noticeable. I think people are starting to notice because, when you cruise around looking for the best deal you can get, it can be up to 20 to 25 cents different in my neck of the woods. I don't know about yours. The average price for a gallon of gas in the U.S. rose $3.79 to $2.85 in the past 3 weeks. And I think it'll probably just go up from there if you think we're starting to get into eventually those summer holidays, and that's usually when gas is raised in the first place, right before and after Memorial Day weekend. Have any thoughts about the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.